Welcome back to the well, beloved saints. We are already up to part 7. I believe that the Lord wants to continue to lay deep foundational truths. It's interesting that, you know, there's a spiritual side and there's a physical side to everything. And there's heaven and earth, you know. So think about the two sides, heaven and earth, and the spiritual side and the physical side. And there's something good, you know, there's something good in both, because the Lord created both. He created the spiritual side of things and spirits, and heaven, and he also created the physical side of things and physical bodies and earth. And it's all according to the eternal purpose of love. But it's interesting to me, amazing to me, how much foundation the Lord wants to lay for us as we pursue revelation of the end times and how to prepare and all of this. It's a good thing that the Lord is doing among us, but when we believe the truth and when we believe in the gospel, that's when we're really going to be ready to face the things that are coming upon the earth. And so, yeah, let's just keep going. Let's just stay on track. In the course that God has for us, and it's like a chain, one link, another link, another link, another link, another link, and it builds and it builds, and it creates something very strong and very mighty. And so one link at a time, we're growing, and we're going towards what the Lord has for us. In the beginning of my life, I was always surrounded with people because I had a large family and was very close to both of my parents and all of my siblings, and there was 6 of us siblings in total, and lived on a farm, homeschooled, and it was always close to someone because all 6 kids were in the house all day and all night, and it was a very tight-knit family group. And so I relied on my brothers and sister and on my mom and dad a lot, and I grew in the context of relationship with them at all times, and this is natural. The default for us is family, and especially mom and dad, and this is good. This is the design and the purpose of God. But there's a physical side and a spiritual side, remember. And so the physical side is that we grow up in the household, we mature, and we grow independent, and we grow in ability to do things, and we grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And spiritually, a similar thing takes place, and that we grow, and that we mature, and that we increase in responsibility in our lives, and then we become more and more able and responsible as we grow and as we mature. So, but there's a very important piece in our growth process where we separate from our brothers and sisters, and from our mother and father, and from our family, and we go out on our own. And this separation is, it's a really big moment in our lives. And the Lord is bringing us to a place of maturity and relationship with Him, because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and He made man in His own image, male and female. He created them in the image of God, and He made us to be with Him. We were created with intricate detail and design to be with God, yeah. And so all of our needs and our deepest desires are given to us, are designed by God for good, so that we would have all of our need and all of our desire fulfilled by Him, and there we would stay close to the Lord. How much desire do you have in your life, dear saint? What do you wake up? You know, you wake up in the morning and desire hits us, and we want things. We want things. We want things. And also, we need things. We need things. We need. We have need, and we have desire. And these are both These are two very, you know, fundamental core parts of who we are as people, as human beings. But note one thing, that need is more foundational than desire, because need is necessary for the function of survival and for, you know, proper function. We have things that we must not go without. And the desire, actually, that we have is born of need. In other words, I get thirsty because my body needs water. Yeah. So this is the design of God, and this is happening in all of us. And all of our true deepest needs and our true deepest desires are to be fulfilled by God. This is the true well. This is the true well. His name is Jesus Christ. This is the true source, the true food, the true breath, air that we need. This is the true sustenance for the human being. It is the power and love of God. This is our life. The Lord is our life. And He's our source. And He's everything to us. And it must be so. And we must grow in this maturity that the Lord truly fulfills all of our need and our deepest desires. Now, unfortunately, there's a desire that comes that's a lie, that's not according to need. And the desire just says, I want that greedily. And it's not actually something that we need at all. It's just something that we want. And desire surges because our soul needs God. But when our soul is not filled with God, or when it's still broken, still hurting, separated from God in some way, then it's crying out from within us like a needy child crying out. You know, it says in the Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. My soul longs for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? So the soul is thirsting for God. Yeah. And this is a great and zealous and fiery, crazy desire that most people don't understand. And so we run after many, many things to try and satisfy the need of our soul. But alas, it is a lie. Everything other than the Lord, when sought as a true source of fulfillment or purpose or pleasure, it's empty and it can't truly satisfy. So it's amazing what the Lord has done for us in Christ Jesus, because in Christ Jesus, God has redeemed us to Himself. Sin was the separation between us and God. It was the barrier, it was the wall, it was the veil. It says in Isaiah 59, your sins have separated you from your God, and your iniquities have hidden His face from you. Do you see that? So we're separated from God, so how is our soul ever, ever, ever going to be okay? It's not. Not only is it not satisfied, it's broken, but ultimately, it's lost. Lost. Doomed to die. Without God. And without hope in the world. Yeah, but so what God has done for us in Christ Jesus is amazing, that He's redeemed us. We've been redeemed to God through the blood of the Lamb. And now, listen, by the grace of our God, in the name of Jesus, which has been given to us, we have God. We have Him. You, as a child of God, possess God. He's in you. Christ in us is the hope of glory. It's the Spirit of Christ in us. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord, or the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's the Lord in us. We have access to the Lord, and we have God. This is everything to our soul. Why are we so tempted so much? Because we are missing out on the depth of the relationship with God that we could have. And so when I'm wandering from God, this desire in me flares up with a fierce power and passion. And it's crazy. I'm like, whoa, what is this? And pretty soon I'm tempted in this way, in this way, in this way, in this way. I'm tempted in a dozen ways in one day, maybe even just in 1 hour. because my soul is thirsty, and it's yearning and it's crying out within me for some fulfillment, for some purpose. So this is the importance of closeness to the Lord, to always drink from this well, Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, if you knew who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And he said later on, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. But indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amazing. Amazing. Well, we're born in the flesh. We're born into sin. And we're born, you know, into many, many things that are not the intention or the desire of God. And we grow, and we naturally feed our desire on many things, but the beginning, the foundation of it, is mom and dad. My parents are my source of truth, my source of identity, my source of purpose, my source of safety and security. Do you see that? Everything that we really need, that we feel that we need, even my source of sustenance, of physical food, of protection, of safety. It's all right here in mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or whoever it is who raised the child. And so then, you know, we're taught from birth that it's in people or that it's in relationships that we have what we need and that we're fulfilled and that we're satisfied. So we start to go after relationships and we seek and we desire love and we cry out for love and we yearn for love and attention even as little kids. And that yearning never goes away. When we become adults, it doesn't go away. We just become better at hiding it or going to other sources to look for satisfaction and fulfillment. And, yeah, purpose and desire, that the deep desire and our needs, where are we gonna satisfy all these needs and these crazy desires that we have? Yeah. So we're naturally, it's mom and dad. And then we grow and we see all these other people in our lives and we think, ooh, I can get what I need from this person. I can get love, affection, approval, acceptance, you know, validation, honor, respect, security, safety, you know, hope, all of that. Value, purpose, identity. I can get that from this person? Great, I want to be friends right away. Let's be friends. Let's hang out. Heck, let's even date. Yeah. I'm very attracted to you. Of course, we think we're attracted to many people because we're selfishly feeding on something from them. Do you see that? Ooh, this person accepts me. They think I'm good. They think I'm good looking. They think I'm always right. They call me real. They call me... You know, they trust me. They think I'm true and honest. They think I'm worthy. These are all things that our soul needs. So, of course, we cling to that person. Do we actually love them? Who knows? What is true love? Do we actually love them? Or are we just desperate in our desire and in our need that we were born with and we don't know how to deal with it? And so we go in search of anything we can get our hands on, and we find people. And if they're not too terribly annoying to us, we say, ah, fits the bill. And we cling to them. Do you see the face of Jesus right now looking at a person living that way? Do you see the face of the Lord Jesus right now looking at a person who's stuck in this lifestyle? Seeking whatever they can get their hands on to try... You know, desperately to satisfy their need and their desire. And they're just running here and there, and they're busybodies, and they're striving, and they're from this job to that job, and from this friend to that friend, and from this boyfriend or girlfriend to the next, or from this marriage to the next, or from this hobby to the next, or from this material possession to the next. Why? because they were born with a desire so deep that nothing in the world could satisfy it. Tremendous. And all the while, Jesus is looking at them. Do you see his face? What do you see on his face right now? What is the expression of his face toward you, dear saint, in those moments when you've been in a place of insecurity and gone after anything you can get your hands on to try and satisfy your desire? You know, we were made for God. We were created for him. We weren't created for other things, but God alone, you know. Car was meant to be on the highway. That's where a car loves to be. On the highway, boy, a car can really just cruise on the highway. Why? Because it was literally made for it. But get a car in the woods, in the swamp, in a river, in the ocean, and it doesn't do so well. It's miserable. Because it's not what it was made for. Please don't be angry at God. It's not his fault. He's innocent. We suffer a great deal because we've sold ourselves out to go after idols, and the whole time Jesus is there waiting for us. Like, will you take the step of faith and say no to all of those carnal, sinful things, and in faith turn to me with all of your heart and soul? My son, my daughter, here I am waiting. Will you take that great push of faith and forsake those things that are so easy, so pleasurable, so tempting? And will you just turn back to just me? I'm waiting for you. His heart's broken, guys. His heart's broken at our state and situation and the things that we are suffering and going through. Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't care. But he loves us so much, he doesn't even sleep at night. Just hoping that perhaps we'd turn back to him. So then Jesus came to the earth, and he taught us about the secret place, something called the secret place. And he said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, which love to pray on the corners of the streets. This is Matthew 6. And in public places, that they may be seen by men. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. It's the beginning of Matthew chapter 6. And what Jesus is simply saying is cut off all of that and return to me. You have need, you have desire, here I am. Drink from this well and see just how satisfied your soul will be. Drink from this well and see if there is any desire, true desire of your heart that I cannot entirely fulfill. True desire. Come to me, receive from me, and see if there's any need, true need that you have that I will not take care of. Go into the inner room, shut the door, shut out all those idols, shut out all the people also. Shut them all out of physically, out of the room, shut them out of your mind, out of your heart, and be with the Lord. Yeah. Because God wants to redeem us to what we're created for, which is to be with him. And as long as we have this stack of like 10 or maybe a dozen, or maybe 20, 22, 23 other things that we are seeking to satisfy ourselves with and to fulfill our needs with more than God, he can't take his rightful place as the king of our heart. So all those things need to be removed, forsaken, Then we turn to the Lord, and bam, it happens. We really meet him. We really know him. Not so long ago, I was, you know, out in the woods in a cave, and I was out there for days, and it was very cold. And I was out there for no other reason than that the Lord called me to be there. And I didn't have anything at that time, really, but the Lord. And I remember, you know, in those moments of extremely difficult, you know, extremely difficult times, suffering, I realized what God was doing. He was removing everything from my life so that I could really have him. That was it. It's not about the suffering. It's not about the sacrifice. It's about Jesus. But sometimes it takes suffering and sacrifice in order to really meet him. You know, to that degree. So good. What do you think it was like for Elijah when he was walking 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything to Horeb, the mountain of God? By the time he got to that mountain, dear brothers and sisters, he had nothing but the Lord. And that's when he really knew the Lord. Really met him. Yet once more the Lord will shake not only earth, but also heaven, and the things which may be shaken will be removed, will be taken away. And then all we will have is the Lord. And on that day, it will be necessary for us indeed to have lived a lifestyle of true loyalty and devotion to God. No one can serve two masters, for else he will be devoted to one and hate the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what Jesus said. But really, that applies to everything. So we need to get back to the secret place, close the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and he who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And this is a great blessing that's going to be power and grace for us in the time of the end. Righteous Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would give us grace and strength to forsake everything and follow Jesus. God, I'm asking for revelation of you and of your Son, Jesus Christ, like never before. God, I'm asking for just the ability to trust in you more than any other thing and to love you more than any other thing in our lives. Thank you for the beautiful people you have put in our lives. Thank you for their help and their encouragement to us in the gospel and in the kingdom of light. But God, I'm asking that we would never seek to drink from any person but Jesus alone. That we would never seek to really satisfy our deepest needs and desires from a person, a human being in this earth, but from Jesus alone. May it be so, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.